morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for October 2nd, 2011. This is Reverend Koyo Kobose here. I'm glad you joined us. Well, let's begin with our guest today to give us a Dharma glimpse. This is Jeff Wayo Ward of Jonesboro, Arkansas, part of our Lay Minister 3 group. And I understand he's going to talk about dragonflies. So here is Jeff Wayo Sensei.
Thank you for having me here today. It's a true honor. I want to share my thoughts with you. I was running the other evening through the streets of my neighborhood. I really enjoy these moments with the sun and the wind and the trees. While I run, I have my MP3 player loaded with some chants that I had downloaded from ameetabagallery.org. As I came into the final long stretch that day, out of the corner of my eye, I noticed a group of dragonflies. Their flight seemed very smooth and rhythmic, and they began to follow along beside me. I gave them a little gassho to thank them for their company when I was suddenly struck by the muse, you know, and started playing with a little haiku. As it bounced around in my head, it went something like this. Seven dragonflies, hello, my little brothers, fly, said small Buddhas. As I was listening to some soft music and a monk chanting and my dragonfly Buddhas flying beside me, I just had one of those aha moments. I was deep in my run, heart pounding, blood flowing, a very visceral, very alive moment. If you're a runner, you know that time when it seems every cell in your body sings that it's alive. So there I was, each breath like a focusing gong with my seven little Buddhas flying right there with me. And I thought, seven of them and one of me. That makes eight. It's the eightfold path, I thought, moving forward. If we, my dragonflies and I, if I may be so bold, if we symbolize the Noble Eightfold Path and the run was the perfect expression of life in its truest sense, then it dawns on me that the Noble Eightfold Path moves through life, and life moves through the path. No separateness, no duality. Dharma is life. Life is Dharma. I felt that overwhelming sense of oneness with my little Buddhas, as I had come to call them, and continued my run quite peacefully. As we came closer to the end of the block, they took a little dive and split up, flying out in all directions. How like the Dharma, I thought, in its boundless way, reaching out in all directions to encompass us all. A truly universal oneness. And that is the glimpse I wish to share with everyone today. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you very much. I always feel a warm glow when I hear the Dharma glimpses of our lay ministers. You know, Dharma glimpses or Dharma talks, sharing the Dharma. On the one hand, sometimes when a listener wants to listen to a Dharma talk, they might think that a Dharma talk means to talk about a Dharma teaching like from a book, you know, what the meaning of emptiness is, or the philosophy of, you know, this or that, or to talk about the virtues of Buddhahood or enlightenment and so forth in a scholarly way. Now that is fine for a scholar whose purpose is to, you know, systematically outline the, how religious concepts relate to each other, or, you know, but a Dharma talk needs to inspire the listener on their own spiritual path. And in order to do this, it has to come from the talker's spiritual path. So I always have tried to teach through our lay ministry program what a Dharma talk really is. That when you give a Dharma talk, it has to come from one's own experience. So no matter what you talk about, it has to be come out of one's own experience. And this is why everyday Dharma, Dharma's life, is all around us in any moment, any situation. Everyday activities is filled with all kinds of teachings. And so, as I said, it always fills me with a warm glow when I hear the Dharma glimpses and the lay ministers share their life together, you know, the spiritual life. It's a tremendous, gratifying thing. Now, I want to share just a little bit about some of my past doings. I traveled down to Southern California, Los Angeles area, last weekend to talk at the Orange County Buddhist Church and to also the Vista Buddhist Church. Anaheim is a little bit south of the city of Los Angeles. Anaheim, of course, is the home of Disneyland, Knott's Berry Farm. And then an hour south, maybe halfway down towards San Diego Way, is the Vista Church, near the ocean side there, and also spoke there. And when I travel to speak, it's sort of like I'm going on retreat myself. I'm the one that's traveling away, and I always put myself into the retreat mode or mental set, and I gain a lot. I learn a lot. It may sound like I'm giving a Dharma talk to others, but I'm really giving a Dharma talk to myself. And how to listen. Maybe this is the most fundamental Buddhist practice there is, how to listen. That's the reason for engaging in formal sitting meditation, so that one could calm down and listen. To listen means to receive the moment. So when you're jogging along and you could listen to nature, if you're running outside, even in while you're doing hectic things, vigorous actions, if you have a calm center, you can still hear the Dharma because you could listen. We hear things all the time. Hearing is sensation, meaning that our sound receptors, we hear the sound. But listening means that our Dharma brain, our Dharma brain cells are activated. And we receive what we hear, okay, as a teaching. That's what it means to listen, as distinguished from hearing. And as our spirituality and our journey matures, we can hear, we can listen deeper and deeper, clearer and clearer. And how joyous that is. Huh? And it becomes a natural way of life. And the biggest impediment to listening, when our world is motivated by so sort of narrow self-centered concerns when we bring all those kinds of expectations and our own agendas to things, and we're not that empty teacup that can receive. And this is something that is not necessarily bad, or it's necessary to have a certain point of view. So it's a very, not a tricky thing, but a subtle thing in a way, where certain situations, it's hard, almost impossible to be completely empty. Just calming down so that the tapes that are running in our minds are not dominant and are not grabbing our minds, hijacking us. But just like a murmur, okay? It's sort of like when you're driving a car and you're thinking about something else. You know, you're doing something that's so automatic so that you know how to drive safely, but you're not concentrating on it. You're thinking about something else. Of course, you could get so distracted, twittering or tweeting or whatever, or talking on the phone or something, or looking around, and you will cause an accident. But I'm talking about when you just, that kind of attention, paying attention, so that you're safe driving, but it's sort of in the background, kind of automatic. So many times we're like that. Okay. So maybe we're three quarters empty, a good state. We're still alert for anything that might happen, yet we're relaxed and yet alert. But when something really takes over our minds and we're not like that, that's when I think we get our own, well, could be dislikes or our own greed, our own delusions, channel or filter or color, sort of like colored certain glasses that color everything that we see and hear. And when it's like that, we should have to beware, so that we could counter it, because it happens all the time. And when it's too strong, it's always a matter of degree, we need to be able to tamp it down so that we can be present in that moment. Let me give you some examples of what impedes listening when our own narrow self-concern things colors and dominates everything. As I mentioned in one of my talks in Southern California last week, I was talking about listening. It was Ohigan weekend, and it's a time when we're concentrate on deepening our spirituality, and deep listening is one of those ways. Okay. And here's an impediment to deep listening. It's when I, me, mine dominate. Okay. And we don't see things the way they are. Okay. We see them how we want them to be, or how we are in that moment. So, I told a story. It's kind of a humorous story, but one of my favorite ones. I don't remember where I heard it from, but I've kept it close to me all these years. And when appropriate, I love to tell this story when the topic is about listening. Now, as we get older, as all older people know, our listening starts to go, right? Now, this is a story about an elderly couple, and they start to bicker because they get frustrated with their own hearing difficulties, and they scapegoat the other. You don't talk loud enough, and you can't hear when I'm saying things, and then this and that, and they're always blaming each other for the communication problems that they have. Why don't you listen better? Why don't you talk up? Okay. Or they misinterpreted what someone said, you know, and there's a lot of humorous examples of that. Okay. Oh, I thought you said this, or, okay. So it was, everyday life was like that for this elderly couple, always blaming each other for not their, that their hearing was going. Well, one quiet Sunday morning, the wife was working at the kitchen counter, preparing some food, and the husband came into the kitchen from the opposite end and stopped there, and he looked at the back of his wife working at the counter across the room, and he said to himself, I'm going to do a little experiment. I'm going to demonstrate that to my wife that it's her that is hard of hearing. So he stood there and he said in a medium loud voice, can you hear me? No answer. So he stepped halfway into the room and he said again in the same loudness, can you hear me? Again, no answer. So this time he stepped right behind her and he said in the same voice, can you hear me? And this time, the wife turned her head and said, for the third time, yes. This never fails to get a nice laugh from the listeners. And I have to shake my head and laugh too. It's such a great illustration that because of our own limitations, that's what prevents us and makes us think that it's others. And I always say, hey, don't point your finger at blaming others, because when you point one finger at someone, three other fingers are pointing back at you. That should be a good mudra, a hand gesture. Okay? And so we always have to hit the mute button when we want to be so quick to judge and to blame. We ought to pause and hit the pause button too to reflect upon the actual situation and maybe, you know, what is my role in it. And not only that, we have to pay attention that the lesson is for us, not for others. This is also a very fundamental aspect of listening. When we listen and hear a good teaching, then it's so common, then the ministers always joke that when they, someone comes up after a Dharma talk and says, oh, that was a great talk. That was a great teaching. I wish my husband could have heard that. He needs that. Well, maybe so, but the Dharma is always for me. Don't worry about other people. Take care of yourself and everything will be taken care of. Okay. And this is particularly true when we listen. And one last example I could give, a quick one, is there was a fellow that makes this point. There was a fellow that was sitting in his living room at home, and you know, you hear sirens, emergency sirens all the time. And you hear it in the distance, and then it gets a little bit louder, then it starts to get weaker as it goes someplace. And way back in your mind, you're thinking, there's an emergency going on someplace. But let's say you're watching TV or reading a book in your living room and you hear that siren. And you hear it registers, but you don't pay too much attention to it because the sound is fading away. But supposing the sound got louder and you realized that it was coming into your neighborhood, this vehicle, then you might perk up a little bit. You say, hey, something's emergency, and it's in my neighborhood. Interesting. Hey. But supposing then you could tell by the sound that it turned down your street. Now you're going to sit up and maybe look out the window from your seat. Because, hey, something's going on my street. And then supposing the emergency vehicle stopped in front of your house, lights are flashing and the thing is really blaring. Now you jump up because things stopped right in front of your house. You jump up. It's the same siren, but when it looks like it has something to do with you, now you listen to it. The motivation and attention is completely different. We should have this kind of attention when we listen to the Dharma. You know? Life or death. It is. Wasting, you know. And the siren. Don't ask for whom the siren's siring. It's sirens for you. So, that's all for today's broadcast. Until next time, you keep going. And have a beautiful day to listen to the Dharma. Thank you.